Good afternoon, planet Earth. Good afternoon to the warbly folk. Good afternoon to the seekers and the travelers. To all the people floating down the rivers. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to the whiskey mistress. Good afternoon to the old skeevy priest. Good afternoon to the queens and the kings, to the duchess, to the fucking duke. It is January the 31st, 2023. And it's just after 2 p.m. Mountain Standard Time here in Utah, if you can believe it. I saw an article today about an incident from about a week ago. Some amputee, some dude who had both of his legs amputated, was, you know, stabbing people supposedly with a knife. And a bunch of cops started shooting at the guy with no legs. And they seemed to take him out. Pretty horrible people. Pretty desperate. Yeah, I saw this article, this news article about some dude, I think at Huntington Beach or something, I think in California. He was shot by cops because he, you know, allegedly stabbed some people. He was wheelchair, you know, bound. He did have a couple stumps he could kind of waddle on. And he was, you know, in the video, he's waddling away. As the cops unload on his ass, they unload the 9mm, they unload the 40 Smith & Wesson, they unload all the hollow points into his ass. And he's running away as fast as he can. With that knife and his amputated legs. I don't know. It's like that Tyre Nichols, the most recent atrocity. I have a hard time judging with any degree of certainty if any of these stories are true. I know that they seem to follow a basic theme, that they keep people kind of angry and pissed off and confused, but I don't know that they have any basis in truth. It could be that this amputated kid, this dude, this guy was being shot at by cops, and it could be that this Nichols kid was beat to death by a bunch of cops. I don't know. But it also could be that these stories are 100% bullshit. Ever since the George Floyd incident in 2020, I have suspected that a lot of these situations might be manufactured. I don't know for certain. I can tell you the video I took of Chop Chaz in Seattle of Antifa and BLM reeked of cops and Seattle employees and lots of feds and lots of support. So what I saw with my own eyes in the summer of 2020 in Seattle was 100% bullshit. It wasn't any of the shit that Ian Miles Wrong and Andy No Clue seem to describe with all their communist insurrection bullshit. What I saw was crap. And it was 100% government-sponsored shit. But I don't think it matters, and I don't think anybody cares. And that's as much as I want to say about that. Really. You know, I've said this to people in different circumstances, and I think it's basically true. I don't think that any of us are changing any minds at this point. I don't think that there's going to be a reset. I don't think there's going to be one world government. If that was to happen, I think we would be in the end times, and I'm really not ready to pull the trigger on that myself. I believe whatever is actually going on is still mostly hidden. And it doesn't mean it's a real concern. It doesn't mean that the government is correct. It could be 100% the opposite. But the stuff we're seeing publicly, it's just more smoke and mirrors bullshit. All of it designed to obscure, all of it designed to, as I've said in the past, carpet bomb the third eye. You have an ability to suss out the truth. Even with the absence of good information, you have the ability to tell when you're being lied to, when you're being deceived. But everything they've done since early 2020 has been designed to take away your critical thinking, what you might have left of it, and your ability to sort of figure out that you're being fucking lied to. I mean, the reset sounds nice, doesn't it? Because there are people involved and people can be fought, you know? I think the thing that people are actually afraid of and unwilling to talk about, the thing that really would cause terror if people gave it a moment's notice, is the very thing that they have no protection against. It's inevitability, it's destiny, it's certainty. It's the relative certainty, as I have in my heart, that best case scenario, we're looking at the collapse of the dollar empire, and worst case scenario, it's something so bad that you would gaslight billions of people for 3 fucking years. And it's not over yet. The gaslighting's not over. The manipulation's not over. The amputees being shot up by cops or being beaten to death by cops, that's not over. None of the nonsense is over. The chicken factories and egg fucking plants blowing up, catching fire, fucking not over. The Ukraine war is clearly not fucking over. And the COVID, despite all the bullshit, is not over. So none of this is ended. They do layer on other forms of military psychological warfare, but the underlying core storylines, to include the race war, which based upon these recent cop events, is definitely not over. And it looks dumb. It looks dumb. It looks unsophisticated. It's entirely plausible that the American police force is filled with a lot of stupid fucking people. That is a very reasonable explanation. But these events look so dumb as to not be believed. Like a lot of the videos from 2020 showing motherfuckers running on a beach being chased by cops, showing motherfuckers in Australia being you know, punched in the stomach or throat jacked by cops. If you take the videos without any suspicion or skepticism, you'd say to yourself, oh my God, look at what's going on. Well, I better not go outside today. I can stay at home, watch CNN, listen to Fox News. I don't have to deal with the fucking crazies. That is where I'm at, brothers and sisters, on this subject. I have no idea if any of these stories of cop brutality are true. Doesn't mean I support cops either. I'm not a fan of law enforcement. I'm just even less a fan of this sort of confusion that's everywhere. I'm less of a fan of the crazy and the self-deception and the desire on the part of so many people to cling to lesser catastrophes and simple disasters and whatever they're fucking spoon-fed as the most likely explanation for whatever the fuck they think is going on. What I see is desperation. You're not going to change anybody's mind. People are desperate. People have become sclerotic. People have become frozen in their beliefs. People have woven together a skein of madness within their consciousness, and they're not going to change. And the more you try to push somebody to open up their mind, the more angry you're probably going to make them. That's where we're at in the game. Right now, some of this psyop nonsense almost seems unnecessary. When I was a kid, we would go to 7-Eleven. At the 7-Eleven store, we could buy switchblades and hatchets and swords and other types of daggers. You could even buy one of those switchblades where if you pressed a button, the blade would just shoot out like a bullet. And you could spend all day shooting that thing at the wall of the school, or fake shooting, pretending to shoot at your friend, Cleve. Yeah, you could just point that knife at your friend and play knife games. And they ended up making those knives illegal, but for a time we were innocent and happy with our knives when I was a kid. We spend our summer days hunting apple pigeon, my brothers, my sisters. We'd spend our summer days hunting the apple pigeon near the old orchard, living off grizzle grease and old dead squirrel. Our parents were getting drunk at the Knotty Pine Tavern, while the kids were making shit houses by the irrigation ditch and eating scrob when I was a kid. During the halcyon days of youth, we sought after firework power and smelly screeg juice. We'd buy worms from Little Mountain Store and then go down to the pond to catch rainbows. If some kid fell into the pond and drowned, we felt bad about it, and then we just went to play Donkey Kong. When I was a kid. Maybe we'd tell the parents. Little Bobby drowned in the pond. Caps and quarters. Back in school, our teachers use rods and yardsticks and belts and cheese paddles to teach us a lesson. If we acted up, they tied us to logs and rolled us down the concrete steps in front of the school. We would spend hours in the basement with the festering rodents and the mold, and this was just normal when I was a kid. In high school, the kids mocked me and chased me. I lived in the shadows. Even the tree people shunned me. I was an outcast, living off of crack cocaine and Pop Rocks and Pepsi. I took my orders from an alley cat. I carried a lead pipe. My face was covered in rooster gravy and bear piss. As kids, we raised different kinds of animals and kept them in jars and cages. We'd watch Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom and pretend we could steal the hearts of nature and clamp down on the natural splendor. We'd eat the fairy grapes and whistle songs at dormant hyenas and cats. When we were kids, our parents could buy hippo and elephant at the butcher shop. We would eat the ripe heart of the world as we watched the Gong Show and supported our favorite freak. Our songs were the songs of Skyrockets and Afternoon Delights and Magic Nasty Rendezvous behind the bleachers at the abandoned high school where all those kids were killed. I can remember old Andy, who lived near the abandoned puppy factory. He had a small hovel covered in moss and dead birds. He'd invite the kids for cough syrup and cheese. And some kids never came back. The parents burnt down his house. They burnt down old Andy's home and dumped his body in the river. When I was a kid, my sisters would talk about the black man. He lived in the woods. He was black, and he would sneak into your house. He would sneak in at night and steal babies. Yes, he would steal babies. They would spin these yarns of semi-racial, bare-chested violence as they imagined their Nubian king taking them away from their Catholic doldrums and forbidden jungle delights. Is that racist? I don't know. Is that racist? I don't fucking care. Yes, when I was a kid in the mornings, when we got up, our parents would make us breakfast. We'd have Tang and Velveeta and re-liquefied parrot stool. My friend Skanga spent his days training mice and drinking Kool-Aid. He stayed after school so Father Jim could teach him special lessons. We would find Skanga trapped in the sacristy at the church, and he didn't want to talk about it. And his altar boy uniform was stained in blood when I was a kid. When I was a kid, after church on Sunday, my dad would take us. He'd take us to Sambo's, that's right, Sambo's. We'd go to Sambo's. It was a kind of restaurant chain. I mean, of course it changed. It changed from Sambo's, I think, to Denny's or something else. But for a while, it was Sambo's. And as a kid, I didn't know how fucking racist that was. The little Sambo thing, the store was themed on some little black kid being chased by tigers and the storyline about how his family ate bushmeat and sometimes ate people. Little Sambo would run shirtless through the European settlements, impregnating white girls and stealing big screen TV sets. Is that racist? I don't know, and I don't fucking care. When I was a kid, we would play with buckets of gasoline, tossing flames at each other and melting garbage bags. If some kid got burned, we mocked the kid for it, and it was their fault, and then they needed to pay. And we gave the kid raspberries and ripped up his underwear, and if he went home crying, we laughed and laughed and laughed. And maybe that kid didn't make it. Maybe he set himself on fire to prove a point when I was a kid. When I was a kid, we would hunt freaks on Little Mountain, firing our BB guns at any that dared cross us. They lived up there in the woods, covering themselves in slug oil and Tuglin blood. We'd round them up, put them behind a fence. We'd toss old cheeseburgers and soup at them, and they would cry and cry out their great pain to a world more interested in Fantasy Island and the Love Boat. When I was a kid, we would go smelt jigging in Laconer and take those damn slimy things and use them for crabbing. That sea protein was prized among the jubilant folk, and they used the paste to clean their pixie pipe and massage their woman's bubula and sclevis. They would win awards handed out by the old chief and then take their winnings and play video games. Nobody joked about asteroids. Nobody took fun in Pac-Man or Ms. Pac-Man. It was all about the stinky dead things and the old people dying of consumption. Yes, we had games you could buy when I was a kid. Captain Kildo, The Furious Claw, House Trap, Cat's Whisper, and the Broken Glass Puzzle Fun Box. We had all kinds of fun toys and games when I was a kid. Kids would eat the pieces, the small chunks of plastic, and they would choke. Some kids would eat the small magnets and their insides would get all fucked up. We would dare each other to eat bits of plastic and shove asbestos-covered french fries up our noses. We ate raw DDT and lived like monkey fiends, and our homes were caves and our time was empty. But we made it out alive, baby, when we were kids. Of course, not everybody's childhood is the same. Next topic. Here's an article from the Metro, .co.uk. It was published yesterday, January the 30th, 2023. And the author is Anugraha Sundaravelu, and I don't care that mispronouncing that makes me racist, fucker. Headline: Digital humans created by AI could replace supermodels. First it came for art and college essays. Now AI is set to take the place of supermodels by creating digital humans. A German company has launched a system that sees state-of-the-art digital humans pose for campaigns. Color Digital claims that their DMIX studio avatars have never seen before photorealistic quality. This enables brands to build up their own completely unique team of digital models to use in their sales and marketing. The Digimodels, who came with names including Joy, Nina, Noah, and Theo, can be customized and individualized to a brand's preference. In partnership with Verse, or Virche, the studio that specializes in creating realistic virtual models, it brings together a high-quality end-to-end virtual model workflow for fashion brands, including a virtual 3D photo studio and Fuckwagon. Oh, that last part was mine. The end-to-end digitalization of workflows is set to have a major impact on the fashion industry, by reducing the need for prototypes and physical samples. Factoring in traveling and the production of shoots, brands can save costs and time as well as reduce environmental impact, says Color Digital. The creators also added that their Digimodels would improve diversity and representation in the fashion industry. Well, of course they will. They'll have horns and tails. The system also allows brands to exchange photorealistic materials, real colors, and avatars. Until now, an end-to-end 3D workflow with virtual models has not been able to meet marketing demands and substitute human model photographs on e-commerce systems, said Gerd Wilschutz, CEO of co-founder of Color Digital. Realistic computer-generated faces have been around for a while in the form of deep fakes, but they've often been limited to two-dimensional flat images. In 2021, gaming company Epic Games introduced the Unreal Engine's MetaHuman Creator, which would let users create real-time digital humans in less than an hour, based on an ever-growing library of variants of human appearance and motion. Wow. So unbelievably cool. Now, why did I read that fucking stupid article? Because I saw this movie. When I was a kid, when I was 11 years old, I saw this movie. The movie was called Looker. And it was a movie about digitizing models, so you didn't need models any longer. And the reason why I mention this is that it's just more, I would say, technological tomfoolery. I'm not saying that they can't do it. Maybe they can, sort of. But I don't really take it seriously. I don't take it any more seriously than AI is taking over the world or the Boston robots are coming for your beer. It all looks like stupid nonsense to me at this point. If you want to be afraid of the computers taking your job, fine. But what kind of a shitty fucking job are you doing that a lot of these, you know, machines can take it? I mean, I'm being honest. You know, how far down the hole have we gone? If you're going to say, well, Dan, what about the engineering and scientific disciplines? I'd say, fuck you. You should have gotten an education in the last couple years on the brilliance of the scientific, mathematical, and engineering disciplines. If you weren't paying attention, fuck you, okay? They're not going to take you to Mars. They're not going to build a killer computer. And this shit about digitizing or digital models, digital humans, whatever, it's stupid. It really is dumb. Do I think companies might do this? Yeah. Do I think they'll be successful? Not really. I think people can tell. Even now, as dumbed down as the human race is, people can fucking tell. So let's do a rundown of the news, all the news that's fit to print, you know, on ZeroHedge.com. Headline, Biden family corruption, COVID origins, weaponized government, wow, and throw in a border crisis, House GOP kicks off investigations, wow. That's a lot of stuff to investigate there, GOP. Good luck. Headline, it's time for the scientific community to admit we were wrong about the COVID and it costs lives. Intellectual elitism, credentialism, and classism must end. Restoring trust in public health and our democracy depends on it. You know, folks, I don't give a fuck about your democracy. Number one, it doesn't work. If you are a voter, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican or Libertarian, you participate in a scheme, a fraud, and it doesn't work. But if it did actually work, it would still be a giant failure. So I don't give a fuck about your democracy. What I will say is this. If you believe that any portion of the COVID-19 story is true, then I believe using your logic, as I've said in the past, I'm a professional NBA basketball player. I make $100 million a year. I have 3 hooker wives, and I do all the cocaine I want to because I can dribble a basketball. Dribble a basketball. I can. Even with one arm, I can dribble a basketball. Ergo, I'm a professional NBA basketball player. That is what happened in 2020. If you want to pretend that was an accident, fuck you. This apology bullshit implies that you're a believer in Hanlon's razor, and you believe this was just an honest fucking mistake. But can I hold you back with that razor for a second, motherfucker? How many of these fucking mistakes have the powers that be had in the last few decades? And when I say mistakes, these aren't little fucking mistakes. These are destroy your fucking life mistakes. And you're the person who tells me about the democracy and the voting and the good government and all that other bullshit. How many of these catastrophically fucking stupid mistakes can you deal with until you realize that your government is shit? See, I can play the Hanlon's Razor game too, motherfucker. I can pretend it's all a mistake. It's not because people are shitheads. Nobody did anything on purpose. It's mass formation psychosis. Dr. Malone said so. It's not military psychological warfare. It wasn't deliberate. It was just a big accident. And we as scientists should apologize. Fuck you and fuck your apology. This applies to every motherfucker I know. There are people I might forgive, people who I might care about, but most of these motherfuckers who went along with this, who participated, who pushed it, and I don't even care if you had the dumb little job of telling people to put their coffee filters on correct at that fucking Costco in Seattle. Yeah, I remember you, motherfucker. Whatever your shitty job was, there is no forgiveness. There is no I'm sorry. Okay, I don't think anybody would have accepted I'm sorry from other similar shitheads throughout history. So why should I accept your fucking I'm sorry? And add to this, this COVID bullshit isn't over yet. How the fuck can you apologize for something when you're still punching people in the stomach? How can you say I'm sorry for punching you in the fucking face, and you're still doing it? The COVID is not over, motherfuckers. Okay? They haven't shut it down. They're still playing out their little storylines, and they're still telling people to get the jab. Whatever the fuck it is. Here's what I know about the jab. You don't fucking need it. Okay? You don't need it. You didn't need it, period. It was never gonna help you, and for pandemics that don't exist, it's called unnecessary. Yeah, I don't want to say more about that. I don't want to spend too much time on one headline, but this bullshit about I'm sorry, I made a mistake. You didn't make a mistake. You did something on purpose. You made choices based on information. If you're one of these motherfuckers who complains about how much they get paid per hour and wants to tell me how valuable their efforts are in society, fuck you. If you're one of these motherfuckers who talks up the public schools and says, oh, they're so necessary to having an intelligent populace, fuck you, okay? And if you're one of these motherfuckers who wants to tell me about public trust, restoring trust in public health, fuck you. You're the motherfuckers who screwed up, and it wasn't just one time. Okay, every couple years, for the 50-plus years I've been on planet Boblimpdoc, the government's done some type of catastrophically stupid shit. By accident, right? And they keep saying, but, you know, you have to forgive us because it was just a mistake. Brothers and sisters, you can forgive all you want to, but that doesn't mean you have to get fucked. It doesn't mean if some motherfucker is constantly, you know, punching you in the face, that you have to stand there and let them punch you in the face. You can forgive them, and then you can walk the fuck away. You can tell me how incompetent all these PhDs were, how incompetent all these institutions were, how they made an incredibly dangerous and horrifically bad mistake that led to millions of people killing themselves, led to millions of people overdosing on drugs, led to millions of businesses destroyed, led to millions of people not treating their chronic illnesses because they, you know, made a fucking mistake. But what you don't get to do is try to convince me in the next sentence that these are people I should trust. Okay? I don't trust the rickety cigarette in the corner of the lip, rockety red roller coaster manager at the local carnival when he gets done setting up the fucking tracks. I don't trust that person at all. But yet, I trust that person more than all the medical professionals out there. Okay? Even current events aside, even with the surgery I had, it went well. Does that mean I trust the healthcare system? Not really. I trust the orthopedic surgeon that worked on my arm. I trust the anesthesiologist to a certain extent. They did well that day. But that doesn't imply that I trust the whole system, okay? Next headline, AMD rallies after top and bottom line beat inline forecast. Woohoo, AMD, go chips. Relative to Intel's epic fail, AMD stepped up to the plate after the bell hit the ball of the park. Good job, Andy. Good job. Next headline from the front of Zero Hedge. We just witnessed an economic sign that hasn't happened since the peak of the Great Depression in 1932. Economic conditions are much worse than you're being told. This seems like a Krieger article. I haven't even seen it yet. Next headline, big tech, Bitcoin, and bullion, best January in decades. Yield curve crashes to record inversion. Everything is awesome, right? U.S. job opening far lower than reported by Department of Labor. UBS finds, is Joe Biden's Department of Labor woefully incompetent or just corrupt? Well, remember what Hanlon's Razor says. We got to forgive all the scientists and PhDs for fucking over the planet with the COVID bullshit. So this must be the same kind of bullshit, right? Oh. Next headline from the front page of Zero Hedge. Freeport LNG, that's liquid natural gas, makes progress towards partial restart with key FERC requests. Woohoo! The key part of this request is that it would allow Freeport to begin flowing natural gas into the pretreatment facility and then permit the initial production of LNG to flow into LNG tanks 1 and 2. This sounds like a lot of fucking 1983 Soviet-style logistical bullshit you'd read in Pravda. Add to the list of fires and food processing plants. I don't trust one fucking word of this article. Next headline from Zero Hedge. Cosmetics brand accused of erasing women with bearded lipstick ads. Oh my God. Why just put a picture with a man wearing lipstick and not a woman too? Oh my God. Headline from Zero Hedge. IMF upgrades global growth forecast as inflation cools. Well, that sounds like great news, right? Yeah. Next headline, front page of Zero Hedge. The Bears are launching a counterattack. Will it work? Ugh, this bear versus bull bullshit and this Soviet-style economy is getting old. Next headline, pro-life father acquitted in trial over abortion clinic confrontation. It was highly contested. It was a highly contested account. Yeah. I don't even know what the dude was doing, why he was acquitted. Next headline, pipe bursting, cold blast headed for the Northeast. A brutally cold air mass is headed to the northeast U.S. for Friday into Saturday with 0 degrees on the table for New York City. Next, Tesla price cuts signal growing margin malaise. Companies that until now have defended their profitability from surging cost inflation by charging more are finding that they have less power to do so as price growth starts to cool. Next headline from Zero Hedge, Pfizer suffers largest monthly loss of value since 2009, Bo Blimp Doc. What's clear in this quarterly report is that Americans are pushing back against taking their gene therapy. But remember the article at the top, we're supposed to forgive. How do you forgive people for an ongoing crime? You see, this is why Zero Hedge pisses me off sometimes, because their editorial decisions even if it's accidental and it's Hanlon's razor, feed into a kind of natural confusion. How the fuck do you forgive someone when they continue to do the thing that they're asking you to forgive them for? And the answer is you can't. I have known people like this on a personal scale. They'll do the same wretched shit over and over again, and then they'll say, but you have to forgive me. Brother, sister, I can forgive you all the live long day before Christ in heaven, but the stupid shit you do, I don't have to be around it. Okay, I might experience it once, twice, three times. If I'm married to you and you're sucking my fucking cock, I might put up with more of it. But given that I'm a stranger to you, all I can say is fuck you. Okay? You can tell me about your apology tour when all of these military psychological warfare operations stop. Then you can go on an apology tour, motherfucker. Banker in Perella Weinberg insider trading probe commits suicide. Yeah, sure. We are incredibly saddened by the tragic loss of our colleague and extend our heartfelt condolences to the family, loved ones, and friends. Well, read between the lines on that one, my friends out there in TV land. Next headline on Zero Hedge, and again, this is almost 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on January the 31st, that's Tuesday, 2023. Biden administration releases over 1,300 criminal illegal immigrants in 1 month. Oh my God. Next headline, Putin establishes joint military training centers with Belarus. Comes days after Ukraine offered Lukashenko a non-aggression pact on fears Belarus would join war. Next headline, fuel costs of electric vehicles overtake gas-powered cars, so says study. And the last headline on the first page for Zero Hedge right now, Switzerland weighs break with centuries-old policy of neutrality. Swiss neutrality has held strong since at least 1815, but now it's over. You remember about 10 years ago when Switzerland went off the gold standard? And a lot of people at the time said, oh, it's no big deal. The gold standard, that's a wretched relic. You don't need to be on the okay. But some of us pointed out that that wouldn't be the only thing. That it would be the gold standard, and then it would be a lot of the, you know, distributed defense posture, the way that ordinary Swiss people have weapons and know how to use them. All this would come next. And all of this will come next. Switzerland is going to have its testicles removed. Switzerland will have its brain removed. Switzerland will have its independence and dignity removed. And then they'll probably even change the name of Switzerland to something else. Because it's racist. It's racist to be Switzerland. It's all white people and Swiss chocolate and all kinds of, you know, Swiss Alps bullshit with people skiing and climbing fucking Matterhorns. Fuck you, Switzerland. Indeed. Indeed. Fuck you, Switzerland. I don't know what to tell you, brothers and sisters, you know. I don't want to dwell too much on this, but of all the headlines, and I've seen this one a lot recently, you know, I was able to create a new account on Twitter because I've got a new phone number. It's deeply shadow banned and controlled, but at least I can peer deeper into that world. And it's kind of like Scott Adams, you know, in recent weeks, you know, the whole Dilbert Scott Adams guy. And he's come out and done some really half-ass apology bullshit, like, oh, maybe I was wrong and the anti-vaxxers were right. You know what, Scott? You start by not using that phrase anti-vaxxer, because it is a rhetorical term. It has nothing to do with the vast majority of people that simply were skeptical of your Donald Trump light speed vaccine, A person can believe that vaccines are efficacious while at the same time questioning the light speed, super fast, take the fucking vaccine bullshit. So this is the thing about Scott Adams and people like this, and probably the motherfucker that wrote that article on Zero Hedge. They want you to pretend they made a little mistake, and they still want you to take a beat down. They want you to pretend they screwed up a little, but if they want you to start wearing coffee filters again, you better. That's what they want. Scott Adams wants to pretend that he made a perfectly reasonable and honest error in judgment. And the reality is, he has a platform where he can speak to millions of people and convince them to do wretchedly stupid shit, to include taking a vaccine that you do not need. So even if it's a fucking placebo, you don't need the wretched fucking placebo. And if it happens to be poison, you don't need the fucking poison. You know, using terms like anti-vaxxer implies, Scott, that you're not there yet. You haven't figured out your shit yet. When you do figure out your shit, then maybe you can come on Twitter or Facebook or go on fucking TV and explain to people what kind of a giant ass you are. But I don't buy your apology. I don't buy these other apologies. And as far as I'm concerned, given where we're at in the game, there's never going to be a way for that to fix itself. It's too fucking late. What's coming next is not everybody joining hands and singing kumbaya. That is not on the menu. That is not. What is on the menu is worse than anything you've ever seen. And even though technically it's not the end of the world, for a lot of fuckers, for a lot of shitheads, it's going to feel like that. And no one's going to give a fuck about podcasts like my shitty podcast. No one's going to care about blogs. No one's going to give a fuck about Dilbert. Maybe they'll have some nasty ass paper cartoons someplace hidden to use as toilet paper. But no one's going to give a fuck about Scott Adams. What's coming is going to reset priorities in a way that priorities haven't been reset in at least 500 years. And I would argue longer. So there is no time for apology tours. There is no time for us to play pretend. And if you want me to play pretend, if you want me to say, okay, you're forgiven, then you have to stop doing the shit you're doing. You have to figure out what you did wrong. You have to admit to what you did wrong. I can't forgive something if you have no fucking clue what you did, Scott. And this applies to every other dumbass out there who wants to feign some sort of fucking apology, but does not know how to explain what they did wrong. Step A, figure out your shit. Step A, figure out what you did wrong, and then knock on my door and say, I'm sorry. But until you fucking do that, fuck you. Go take your military psychological warfare bullshit and your propaganda and whatever the fuck is in the vaccine and shove it up your butt crack and make sure, you know, yeah, make sure you quote Hanlon's razor. If you've taken care of your food, your water, your shelter, if you've taken care of the people you care about, if you have prepared for the possibility that you might have to go up to a year without being able to go to the grocery store, as much as you can prepare, I'm not even sure it's that easy for people to prepare for. If you've done the things you need to do for the people you love, and that includes your pets, your dog, your cat, don't be a dick. If you're gonna stock up food for yourself, you better fucking stock up some food for your cats and dogs. And if you've done all that, and you still have some money left over, you can donate. And you can donate as much or as little as you want to. And if you've already donated, you do not have to feel obligated to donate again. And frankly, if you've never donated, you also don't have to feel obligated. Financial conditions are what they are. And I wouldn't expect you just to come up with money you don't have. That's dumb. Beyond that, I hope you have a great rest of your Monday, brothers and sisters. Have a great rest of your Monday, January the 31st, 2023. It's just after 3 p.m. Mountain Standard Time here in the great state of Utah. All the farmers and ranchers, all the people are laying down, getting ready to put on some dinner, maybe have some afternoon fucking tea. They'll eat their tea cakes, and they'll have some grapes and maybe some celery. They'll consume whatever vitamin juices they need to consume. They'll prepare themselves. So be happy on this Monday. Be happy on the beginning of the work week. Sharpen your knives like when you were a fucking kid. Go get a 2x4, drive a nail through it, chase that bastard right down the street. You know who I'm talking about.